From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
Dr. Zoe Jay, international relations expert from the University of Tasmania, and has come in an outfit this morning, which I really appreciate. Dr. Zoe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks for coming in. We're still getting the glitter out of the chairs at our place after we had an election night event, and there were people wearing glitter, not for the election, but because they were off to a Eurovision party afterwards. I'm really representing for Eurovision. I think you would have been happy to see it, Zoe.
I love a good costume.
Catherine, can you just let me know, were they as dressed as anybody, the people that turned up at election night at my place, or was that a tribute to any particular country, or was that just the camp of Eurovision that was going on? I'm just trying to understand. It was just the high camp. Okay, there was lots of glitter. There was exposed midriffs. There was both male and female representatives were wearing like tiny little shorts in silver. But yeah, I'm being told that it was just part of the Eurovision festivities rather than representing any country. Who won, Zoe?
It was the Netherlands for the first time in like 45 years. So I think they're pretty excited.
Okay, and so they will now host Eurovision next year?
Yes.
Does it go to like The Hague? Or will it be more of an Amsterdam-style event, do you think?
Well, there's usually a pretty intense bidding process between different cities because the cities get all the tourism benefits from it. So I think Rotterdam, Amsterdam, maybe The Hague, I don't know. The standard Dutch cities are the options, I guess.
Should we check your grant applications fairly cynically now for 2020 to see what sort of, you know, will you be somehow needing to go to some international court and do deep research there at exactly Eurovision time?
I think we'll have to look into some research projects in May next year for sure.
I reckon there'll be lots of people who want to get off to Holland and enjoy a little bit of Eurovision. I told you last year about my friends that made a bet. They said whoever wins, that's where we'll go to next year. And then Azerbaijan won. And so that's where they went off to watch a Eurovision. Of course, controversially, it was in Israel this year. Controversially for some. I mean, how did that play out in the end? There was some criticism of Israel over its position and its treatment of Palestinians, particularly on its border. How did that play out?
Well, in the end, this was a really interesting tension because obviously the boycott was occurring in the lead up and a lot of people were protesting outside the Eurovision village. But inside the arena, the Icelandic entry, Hattari, waved a flag on screen, and Madonna during the halftime act, also one of her dancers had Palestinian and Israeli flags on the back of their jackets. And that is really unusual for Eurovision because the EBU is quite strict about the types of flags you can have inside the arena and very strict about there being no politics in the event at all. So this really brought the politics of the boycott and the competition being hosted in Israel from the sort of sidelines to the front of the stage.
Madonna, by all accounts, was terrible. What happened there?
I don't know. I'm not a huge Madonna fan at the best of times. I don't know if that's sacrilegious, but she sounded a bit flat. But
okay. Look, it's time to move on to the more serious matters of international affairs with Dr. Zoe Jay.
I will move the embassy to Jerusalem.
We need the new European Union.
I believe it is my duty to deliver
matters of state with Dr. Matt Killingsworth
on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
No Dr. Matt Killingsworth this week. It's Dr. Zoe Jay who's in the chair. And we've got a They Said What quote coming up in a moment, so you'll need to be ready for that. The Indian elections have been on. Dr. Zoe, and it looks like the incumbent, Narendra Modi, has been returned?
It does. They're still counting their whopping 600 million votes, but it's looking pretty strongly like he'll win not a majority for his BJP party in its own right, but with the coalition, they'll have enough seats to form another government.
What are the implications about the direction that India's been taking in recent years? I mean, what do you think that means for India?
Well, I think this election has been described as a referendum on Modi's previous 5 years in power, and it's looking like big issues in the election were the economy, the looming potential recession, growing Hindu nationalism. So I think it's likely that those kind of issues will continue for the next few years.
And the fact that he's sort of increasingly... Well, there's a perception about the way that he treats other sort of rival sects within the country and what this will mean for those, as you say, as part of a Hindu nationalist party. So, yeah, what will all of that mean? I mean, is there a perception that this is a good outcome, a good election result for India?
Well, I suppose for the people who voted for him, it's a good outcome. But I think this is the same kind of problem or issue that is arising in elections all around the world. There are parties that are leaning increasingly towards these nationalist, nativist approaches doing talks about building walls, about excluding people. So it's similar issues to things going on in America, in Europe, everywhere in the world.
It's 10:15. We're talking international affairs. Now, for those who haven't played before, here's what's going to happen. Zoe's going to give you a quote, and then you need to text me and tell me who said that. The number is 0438 922 936. That's 0438 922 936. You need to tell us who said this. If you get it right, you get one credit point towards your Masters in International Relations at the University of Tasmania.
I give myself an A+. Plus.
I will continue, and I don't give a shit about anybody observing my behavior.
Having lived in this country for a very long time, probably all their lives, they don't understand English irony either.
And we had the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake that you've ever seen, and President Xi was enjoying it.
I can tell you, and I've known 8 presidents, 3 of the minimum.
They said what?
On Mornings with Leon Compton.
I don't know what I said.
It's time for our quote for the week with Dr. Zoe J. Zoe, who said, what's our quote for this week?
Our quote is, we are confronted with currents that want to destroy the Europe of our values.
We are confronted with currents that want to destroy the Europe of our values. Who said that? 0438 922 936 is the number. 0438 922 936. We're confronted with currents that want to destroy the Europe of our values. Zoe, what's going on in Europe at the moment? Let's start with Austria.
Yeah, a couple of things happening in Europe at the moment. In Austria, the Vice Chancellor, which is the equivalent of the Deputy Prime Minister, essentially, has just resigned after some video footage was discovered that shows him promising public contracts and a 50% stake in one of the largest national tabloids to a woman who's posing as a Russian investor in exchange for her helping him win an election and giving him favourable news coverage.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's out the door?
Yes. Yeah, so his name is Heinz Christian Strache. He is the leader of the far-right populist Freedom Party in Austria. So he was the junior coalition partner, or the FPO was the junior coalition partner with the conservative People's Party in Austria, and the People's Party have ended their coalition with them and said, we're going to have an election, get out, we're done with you.
And what about the prospect of the rise of sort of far-right or nationalist or nativist parties in Austria? Because that's a country that's flirted with these issues quite a lot in not just the past, but the fairly recent past. How are things shaping up there?
Well, that's really interesting because the Freedom Party has historically sort of been held up as a model in Europe for these far-right nationalist parties. They've been quite successful in opposition. They've often got as much as 20% of the vote in Austrian elections. So they're quite successful and entrenched in Austrian politics, but they've really shot themselves in the foot with this issue because obviously corruption is a scandal in any democracy, but in particular for a nationalist party to be trying to sell influence and get foreign intervention from Russia in particular is really interesting because the idea of nationalist parties is to keep power within the nation and so keep Austria Austrian, and selling institutions off to Russians is going to not only upset people who are worried about democracy, but also the nationalist voters.
What was the footage on last night's news of Nigel Farage walking through the streets? Somebody who was critical of him and his policies threw a milkshake at him. He wore it right down the front of his suit. What was that about, and what was the fallout from that?
Well, the milkshake thing, I think that's very similar to Australia's egg teen throwing eggs at Fraser Anning. It's become a bit of an internet meme, I suppose, to throw food at politicians. It's in response, I suppose, to his Brexit party and the upcoming European elections. But Farage is a bit of a baby in his reaction to having a milkshake thrown at him. It's probably pretty gross, but it's not violence in any kind of way. He's overreacting, I think.
It was interesting that he made a choice, and it was an interesting choice to just keep walking and not sort of not take the jacket off to sort of, I think, show people that what had happened. He almost wore it proudly. And to be clear, I mean, nobody sanctions this kind of conduct towards politicians. It's been censured here, and whatever you think of Nigel Farage, it should be censured there. But it was interesting that he chose to keep on walking and almost make a point of saying, look, this is how we get treated. It's expected that his UKIP or the party, the sort of anti-Europe party, will actually get a huge vote from England from the UK in the upcoming European elections, isn't it?
Yes, they're looking to do very well for the UK seats, which is a really interesting dynamic for the European Parliament, because if the UK leaves in October, as they're expected to, I mean, they keep saying they're going to leave and it keeps getting pushed back, but assuming they do leave in October, it's a 6-month period of being probably quite disruptive and the European Parliament not being able to get any of its work done until they leave and can redistribute those seats.
And so what's the plan? I mean, if they'd actually gone ahead with Brexit on the timetable, the March timetable that they had set out 2 years ago, the UK wouldn't have even been participating in those EU elections, would they?
No, they would not. So they now have to participate because for as long as they're a member of the EU, European citizens who live in the UK have a right to representation in the European Parliament. So as long as a country is a member, they have to participate in the elections.
Wow, so could the UKIP party or Nigel Farage's party just absolutely dominate the UK vote in this election?
I don't think they can dominate. They're polling, I think, at around 30%-ish. And so that's a lot of seats, but it's not a majority. So it's possible for the other British representatives who get in to sort of be able to sidestep them. But usually parties don't sit in their national groupings. They sit in party alignment groupings. So the Brexit party is likely to form some sort of alliance with one of the far-right kind of nationalist groupings. I think the group that's led by Salviani in Italy and Le Pen in France, their parties, whereas other more left-leaning parties might go to the Greens or the Social Democratic group.
It's been interesting watching UK politics recently and see the potential for Boris Johnson to assume the Conservative leadership and maybe even the Prime Ministership. How's Theresa May looking at the moment?
She's looking as okay as she ever has been. She trundles along as well as she can, I guess. But I think her days are pretty numbered.
Do you think the Conservatives will choose Boris Johnson, and probably the most recognisable politician, along with Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May, outside of the UK? Do you think the party will almost reward him for his the way that he approached the Brexit vote?
He's certainly very popular with the Brexiteer contingent in the Conservative Party. I think there are probably moderates who are less keen on him, but I'm not sure who else the options might be. So it's entirely likely that he'll become a new leader instead.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, Dr. Zoe J is our guest this morning. We're talking international affairs. Right, let's do our quote. And who said that? Our quote this morning was, "We are confronted by currents. They want to destroy the Europe of our values." Now, let's just turn to the text screen, Zoe, and see what guesses we've got. It was definitely not Bill Shorten, said Mark the Painter this morning. Thank you, Mark, for that this morning. Kate in Dunearn says, was it Germany's Angela Merkel? Suggesting Angela Merkel. Patrick in Rosny would like to know if it was Emmanuel Macron. Fred Bloggs said that, says Daryl. And Chris says, I'm cautiously certain that it was said by German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Dr. Zoe J, who said our quote for this morning?
It was German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
We are confronted with currents that want to destroy the Europe of our values. Who was she talking about?
She was talking about the Austrian Vice Chancellor and talking about the corruption and the collusion with Russia as an example of the threat to the rule of law, to democratic values that is confronting countries across Europe and the European Union as well.
Great to have you in this morning. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Zoe J, what are you working on at the moment, Zoe? Like, what's keeping you busy? We're outside of Eurovision, obviously.
At the moment, I'm marking essays. First year politics and policy, which is fun.
What sort of an essay question have you set for the students?
Well, I didn't set them, but they've got a lot to do with Australian political institutions, political leadership, parliamentary versus presidential systems, democratic wow. values. Fun
the
stuff.
Of things that students are rolling up their sleeves and thinking about is the mid-year tests approach. Dr. Zoe J, catch you again soon.
Thanks.